You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 2. And yes, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, brand and communications strategist, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Now, joining me on today's show is Aruna Ellis. Aruna is a mother of three and she lives in Sydney with her husband. She grew up in a small island on the east coast of India and she comes from and has married into a very faith-filled family. Now she works as a nurse and an advocate of the power of touch in our everyday life. She works as an oncology massage therapist and is working towards running retreats and workshops, teaching mindfulness and nurturing touch. So very important. Now on today's show, she is going to share, every day is a miracle. Count your blessings. We have the power to shape things, as well as the importance of having courage and so much more. So welcome to the show, Aruna.
Oh, thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are so very welcome. Your work that you do, working with patients who are in oncology, how did you get into that line of work?
Oh, it's funny. Look, I come from a family of nurses, right? Mm. My family always wanted me to become a nurse. Then again, as I said, I grew up in India, your hospital was a place you went when you were very sick. A lot of treatment still happened at home. Mm-hmm. And coming from a traditional Indian family, it was all about prayer. You have to pray for good health. And if you fall sick, you have to pray. And, you know, Christian faith is like offer your suffering to Christ. And it was a very big part of my everyday life. And then my mother's thing was, a bowl of chicken soup, a gentle massage, and a word of prayer. That was the answer, the big, big answer for everything. And slowly, actually, as I grew up, I didn't want in particular to be a nurse. I wanted to go into hotel management. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have my own restaurant and, you know, do cooking. Campus selection, I was the first entry, got selected into doing just what I wanted to do. Wow. And coming from India, you had to have your family's blessings and permission to do anything, especially for a girl.
Yes.
And I remember that evening, we were sitting and talking and sorting out things, whether it has to be nursing and whether it has to be hotel management. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, comes up and she said, no, you cannot do hotel management. And I'm like, why? And she's like, then it's going to be men in hotel management and you'll have to do night shifts. And I said, but in nursing also there will be men and I'll have to do night shift. And my grandmother goes, but yeah, there'll be all sick men.
The wise words of a grandmother.
So 1 year I did not do nursing. I did not do hotel management. Next year my sister wanted to do nursing. So I had no choice, but as an elder sibling, I was kicked out of the house. I mean, this sounds very rude, but it wasn't. I mean, it was like a good ultimatum, like she's going, so please get your act together, go and be a nurse. Mm. So that's what I did. I did nursing, but massage was very much a part of everyday life for us. You would never find, when two or three are gathered, you will never find an ideal fingers. We were always somebody's massaging somebody's head, somebody's back, nice. You know, sore back, sore head, sore feet. We all had fiddly fingers. Mm-hmm. And then learned massage as a part of my nursing. It was a component of nursing. But the biggest person, the most important person that shaped was the power of touch was this nun. Because it was where I did nursing was St. Martha's College of Nursing or School of Nursing then run. It was the only hospital run by Good Shepherd nuns. They were actually teachers. Mm. But they had only one hospital in Bangalore. And we had a pastoral care department. And we used to have this nun, really short and stout nun who wore like white habit and black veil. And she would blast, you know, it would like from far, if you see, you'd think that she's floating through, but she wasn't. She was walking, but she would go to patients and she would touch. She would touch their hands, she would touch their feet, she would touch their head, gently lay their hand, you know. And you would see that it, because it was a charitable hospital, there were so many people, really poor people, really struggling people. And then we had a private section where really rich people were there. You know, both came for the fact that they know that the care was superb, you know, excellent care. And they all will, and knowing India, you know, India, we are land of, you know, so many faith, so many cultural backgrounds, but they would wait. They would wait every day for this nun to come. And to lay her hand on them, does not matter where, the family will join their hands, irrespective of which faith they belong, they will join their hand and they will wait next to their loved one. And they will wait for this nun to come and lay their hand, lay her hand. And she wouldn't really like pray. People, usually she will, unless you're really serious or you're going for a surgery, you know, she was only one nun who did the whole hospital. So she wouldn't have time every day to pray. But people would ask, then she would pray, or, you know, she would just lay her hand and just say, get better. You know, just her feeling there, her presence there made so much difference.
Yeah.
And as a student, you had to like run behind her and stand like you were invisible. Nobody cared that you were there or not there. But and it was such a learning experience, because you would stand back and you will see, you will see faces of these people, and, you know, it was such an important thing for me to change. And that just showed like how much of, you know, need there is for human touch. And it is one of the most deprived of senses that we have. Isn't it?
It's one of the love languages, you know, the five love languages. Touch is actually my top love language. So but how amazing that seeing this nun do that as part of your studies impacted your life to the point where you have now followed in her footsteps. I wonder, have you ever, maybe in the many years, have reached out and gone back and said, mentioned to her that she was such an important part in your life?
I have not been to Bangalore since, but I'm really, really trying this year.
Amazing.
Maybe this year is the year that I would go back, because it's not my native place. So, you know, when you live far away, when you go back to your native country, it's all about family and parents and spending time with them. No time or opportunity. But I would love to. I'm sure she gets a blessing every time I mention her.
Oh, look, absolutely. Now, one of the things that you say is that, of course, in your profession, you see a lot of grief, a lot of illness and pain and death. And in all of this, some are calm, they're collected and joyful, and others, they're bitter, unfortunately, and resentful and broken. And they both have pain. And you say that you're very mindful about how you would like to be. And that's a discipline, you believe, that we have to practice when we have health. And it doesn't come naturally to most of us. Share a little bit more about this.
Yeah, that is, I have done years of nursing and also growing up. So I grew up in a big family, right? Culturally, we are all together, always together. So, and it is quite often that you see people who have that. It takes some time to build, but there is this certain sense, this certain peace that comes, this certain strength that we have. You know, even if our boat is rocked, after some time, we can calm down. You know, we can pull from our own experiences, from our teachings, from our faith, this ability to look past what is happening now. And as Christians, we know, and we have that anchor in Christ to see that, you know, okay, whatever is happening here and now, the pain, the grief, the death, you know, it is not, you know, nobody likes to say, because I'm a Christian, I'm experiencing such a pain and it is a good thing. For a logical mind, for a normal human mind, it's a sad thing to say, if you have faith, why would God give you a pain? God give you pain. But the thing is, it is there, a part of our life. Even Christ struggled with it, right? He may not have struggled with illness, but he was tortured and he was killed. So, you know, so much happened. We have to look past that and see. And I think that ability comes from my faith. I'm recognizing that life is a gift. You know, it is not my own. It never have been. My father, my mother, my brother, sister, husband, children, everybody who was given into my life was, you know, is a piece of a bigger puzzle. And to know that whatever is here and now will pass. Sometimes we practice for what is important to us, right? If for somebody, the look of their body is important, they will go to gym. For somebody, eating good food is important. They will learn to cook how they like to eat. You know, it is important to be in the ocean. They will go and learn to swim. For somebody, it is important to be in control. They will develop self-discipline. So it is very important. I'm losing track. It is very important to find. Suddenly, if you fall in sea and you don't know to swim, that is not the time to learn to swim. You will flap your hands.
I knew I should have taken those swimming lessons.
So like that, if you want to develop something, develop it when things are going right. Things are going great, though you may not think about it, but that's when you develop it.
Yeah. It's interesting, Aruna, that you should say that, because absolutely, when we're sitting in a challenge or a situation, particularly when it's to do with our health, sometimes there are just so many questions, you know, why? We have no real answers. And for some of us, you know, that journey is when our life ends. And as a Christian, as we know, the joy that comes in heaven is just, you know, just cannot even be explained and compared to here on earth, because it's that amazing. But when I look back, and I'm sure you do too, at challenges that have happened, whether they were health challenges or business challenges, any challenges, it's often in those times, and we are told to be thankful for that. And sometimes it is quite hard to do that. But we can look back, and it is developing in us at that time the strength that we need, you know, in the future, for future situations. And I think, you know, that becomes, but most important of all, of course, is to rely on Him, that our strength, our real strength, the core strength, is not to rely on ourselves, because when we do, we often fall short and things happen that you just want to, you know, palm slap yourself. But I think what you've said, every day is a miracle to count your blessings, even in the situations where there is a lot of pain and a lot of heartache, that if we can, you know, find just one thing to be thankful for and grateful for. And of course, as we know, Jesus and his death on the cross to save us is one that we can often, for sure, always turn to. So I understand what you're saying. And for sure, I think it's a great way to live our life, to really see that every day is a miracle and to count our blessings. You also say that we have the power to shape things. And an example that you gave was in Matthew chapter 7, and that was where God says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you." And you mentioned that since entering into the business world, you have seen a lot of turmoil. The reality is that we do have a good God. Money and power and material belongings don't spoil us. There is a lot of that scarcity mindset, isn't it? And that unfortunate, because I grew up thinking money was evil, but it's the love of money that was evil. If we put God first, God always seek the first, the kingdom and, you know, the righteousness. And once we have that, then blessings and abundance and prosperity can certainly be ours. Speak a little bit more about this too, because I know that this is an area that we all struggle with.
Yes, I immensely struggled with it, and not that I'm totally out of it, but I think as a Christian, it is given to us, and I think, you know, we as human, we are weak. You know, we draw our strength from people around us, and those people have their own weakness, and they find their own way of living the life to best of their ability, dealing with those weaknesses. And discipline, as I said earlier, discipline is an everyday thing, right? You have to, it is a muscle. You have to build it every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what happens is, like I was talking to my friend's mother, and we were talking about, we had all these Christmas sweets, and I said, Auntie, just have a little bit, and then you don't have to have any more, because she is diabetic. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, Ma, if I have a little bit, I will keep on having a little bit. Mm-hmm. So for me, it is very nice to just cut it out altogether.
Yeah.
And so many people live our life like that.
Yeah.
You know, to avoid it, we totally avoid it. Or we just, our self-discipline muscle, it just gets so tiring that we give in.
Mm.
We just give in and eat, and we say, whatever, if I have to die, I will die. But, you know, the perfect balance lies between those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is in the, so I don't know where, and I don't know how, I think this thing in Christianity got mixed up that money was evil. The money is not evil. Some people, I think, just cut it off because they could not handle themselves when with money came the temptations of pride, temptations of, you know, bad habits and spending and all that thing. I think they just totally cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow to keep children away from the consequences of the love of money, it became a fear tactic.
Mm.
And I think we struggled, but I think it is not so, because I remember listening to somebody, as Christians, where we have faith, we are never poor.
Mm.
We may not have the best of house. I come from poverty. So, you know, I cannot say I have missed meal because we had no money, but we have had very pathetic meal because we had so less money.
Mm.
You know, and even with that, there was other hungry people. So you had to share. So, you know, I have seen poverty.
Yeah.
So I know poverty is not a great thing. You suddenly don't become all right in poverty. But in that also, if your faith is strong, you will pray.
Mm-hmm.
You will pray that, you know, in poverty, if you cannot live in a very secure, sheltered place, you still have people to, you know, have your back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? It makes so much sense. And I think, you know, the fact that, and this is one of the things that one of my mentors, and she wasn't a Christian at the time, but it's interesting that many of some of the teachings that we hear in secular, when we go back, they are Bible-based. They really are Bible-based. And it's kind of like, I know someone who said that many years ago, you know, many, many years ago. But it's like money doesn't make someone evil. The rich aren't richer and you know, and greedy rich and filthy rich and all of those. What it does is money really just highlights what is that person's character, I think, already. And, you know, how our beliefs that we have around and our values can impact how we manage that money. And we're told we need to be stewards of, well, money, time, wisdom, everything that we've been blessed with, I think. But money is one of those, it's like a magnifying glass. It can really bring out some, you know, topics of conversation. But I think as Christians, for sure, if we, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and really, truly, move from a sense that we want to honor him in everything that we do, he then blesses us. I mean, it's said repeated again and again, you know, in the Bible. So it's great to be able to have that discussion with you. You also talk about having courage. It's so important. At the beginning of last year, that's something that I thought, you know, I prayed about, that I wanted to have more courage. And it wasn't until I realized that some of the things that I did in comparison to what I had done previously, that I could see that it was developing in me. But you're talking about the story of the three servants in Matthew 25, where the master gives his servants money. Some of them grow, some of them hide it. And you said that you can certainly relate to that too. Speak a little bit more about that.
See, growing up, for a many part, as devout a Christian that I am, or youth I was, means growing up, I am still am, I would like to believe, is there were some Bible stories that just just did not sit right with me, you know. I just could not relate to them, and I thought they were not good stories. They were not fair stories. It takes life and experience takes, and, you know, explanations. And you have to be mindful and you have to be open, of course, and play for the gift of Holy Spirit to understand things better. And one of that story was that master who gives, he has three servants. To one, he gives 1,000 denarii. To second one, he gives 2,000 denarii. To third one, he gives 5,000 denarii. The 5,000 one goes and doubles it. The 2,000 one goes and doubles it. The 1,000 one hides it.
Yes.
Because it was a gift and he did not want something bad to happen to it.
He didn't want to lose it. Yeah.
He notices it. In the first go, it is fair. When you take somebody's things, you know, $100 from somebody, you don't go and invest it and make, you know, and what if you make $200, that's fine. What if you lose it though?
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be taken on both sides. Like, don't suddenly take something and fly away with it, you know, unless your parachute is really ready and you're ready that you will fly and not sink or, you know, not fall. At the same time, your gifts are being given to you. Use it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you are doing it in your podcast. Your gift is talking and bringing somebody out of their shell. If you don't use it thinking people may not like my podcast, people first have to hear your podcast, then only there is a choice of liking or not liking.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so if we all have a gift that similar to you, I am trying to do a podcast for parents. And first I was struggling with my faith and I said, you know, all my wisdom, my energy, everything, my faith is the foundation of everything. But then I worry that people may not like it. That because there is so much Christian faith in it, if I remove my faith in it, then it is not me, it is not authentic. If I put my faith in it, then people may not like it. But the thing is, if I don't put it out at all,
it's a quandary, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, just referring to the people who may not have heard the Bible story, because some people may be listening today, and everyone's welcome, even people who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The story ends that the master's quite angry at the servant who had hidden the money and had buried it. And speaks quite negatively about that. And it's kind of, he just wanted to keep it safe. But you know what's interesting? I went and had a look at that Bible, the passage there, Aruna, and I noticed that it said here that he gave, and this is verse 15, so if people want to read it, it is Matthew 25, verse 15. It says, he gave to each according to his ability. To his ability, which means if we're questioning it, no need to question it anymore. You've got the ability. Now go do it. Just go and do it. And, you know.
Yes. I think we question a lot because we take it within ourselves. We take a lot within ourselves. If we just take that light away from, and that is ego talking, isn't it? You know, I'm not good enough. I may be not good enough to do certain things, but God has given me, if something is reaching out and calling out to me, like the touch therapy program. I used to work in a very, very reputable hospital here in Sydney, a cancer research center. In a wellness clinic, I had my rooms there.
Yes.
You know, but every time I went there, I did something. Every time a patient walked in, I did something. But at the same time, I knew that though I like doing that, though they like it, my calling was to go out there and to talk, to just educate people on the power of touch.
Yes.
Because when you know what is positive, and then you will know, you know, what is not good and what is then negative, then you can separate it. But if you don't know at all, then you are just lost. Yeah. Because you don't know at all. So it is like about using your gifts. So go out and use your gift first.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said something there, and I think so many of us at one time or another can relate to that. And, you know, we know the saying, the imposter syndrome, who am I to share this message? What can I do? And I firmly believe that each and every one of us has had gifts, strengths and talents and skills planted in us. And, you know, and especially for those of us who are Christians, who know that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Spirit of God living in us, can strengthen in us, as we said, you know, our weaknesses become strength in him. But that, you know, we have a calling, we have a purpose. Now, we may not have all of the answers. If I look back to 2008, when I started my very first podcast, and I listen to them again, I think, you know, but you have to start somewhere. And somewhere. You know what? Somewhere, someone is waiting to hear your message or your, or get your product or service, whatever it is. And by not sharing that, by hiding that away, it means you're not able to impact someone's life. And it's just to take that first step in faith. And for those of us who are Christians, we can pray. And if it's the will of God, we know that it will happen. We just need to keep our, you know, focus on him. So have you started your podcast? Because you know what I'm going to say to you. I'm good.
Few, but yes, I have got many excuses what I have not done, but I shall not go in there. But other thing, coming back to business, was I was thinking is another thing that what happens is we think that everything should happen at once. Mm. And everybody should like at once. I remember a very good prominent business person saying that we compare somebody's front end to our back end. Their glamour, their glory now, but it took, like, you know, nobody becomes a sensation overnight. It takes 20 years to become a sensation overnight. Mm. And people only see that overnight sensation. They do not see that struggle of that 20 years. Yeah. So that's from a business point of view, I think that is also very important.
Yeah.
You know, when the energy is low, you know, just to stillness.
I so get that, because as a business owner and entrepreneur, one of the areas that I mentioned earlier, you know, brand communications, and I use some archetypes, and they're like personalities, and everyone has different personalities from that branding, and one of them is the ruler, and we are driven, you know, we like to see results, and so when we don't see results, we can really beat ourselves up. But I heard someone talking about this, and it made so much sense. You know, when God was leading his people into Canaan, and around that time, and hopefully I can explain this properly, but they didn't overtake or have access to all of the kingdom. It was portion by portion, and they did things slowly. And that was because had they rushed in and you know, the promised people gotten that land, they would have been inundated by enemies. So they had to fortify that and do that slowly. So there's a purpose, there's a reason. As we can probably go full circle and talk about, you know, there are some challenges and some situations that we go through that builds in us the character, you know, that God wants for us to be able to, you know, fulfill our purpose and the calling that we have. And I recall, as I said, 2008, we started podcasting, and we did that because we loved it. It was a co-hosted show. And today now, who knew that I would be doing this on a full time and teaching others to do that? But what's interesting is I still have conversations on social networks that people who've listened to that show back in 2008, you don't know who is listening, who is observing, who is watching, who you can impact, you know, your life or their life through what you are doing. You just don't know. People won't hear unless, you know, people stand out and share that message, for sure. Share a little bit more then, Aruna, about the work that you do, because you said you're starting to do some workshops and speaking retreats. Share a little bit more about those, and of course how people can get in contact with you to find out more.
This year the intention is to go and multiply my dinaris, to go out and be able to speak. Mm-hmm. Because if the gifts are coming from the Lord, then he will give me the courage to, if I surrender to him, he will give me the courage to deal with the challenges that come. Mm-hmm. So that is the intention, because I have noticed, you know, being a nurse, as I said before, I see a lot of death. I see a lot of disappointments. I see a lot of terminal illness, a lot of chronic illness, and I see people's frustration. And in running around in nursing, where you have so little time, there are still a little bit of time where, you know, you can get a good conversation. You hear people's, and you know, sometimes there are sad conversations. Like, I don't know, you might have heard about this thing about graveyard being the richest place in the world. because so many dreams have been buried there, which never materialized.
Yes.
And sometimes those people are, they have this nostalgic, happy moment of some sort. And sometimes there is, you know, pain, grief, which could have, from a third person's point of view, which could have been so easily dealt with at the time. So I always wonder what could have happened differently then. You know, and if I could transport myself to that time, what would I see or what could I do differently? So instead of this sad and disappointed and bitter and heartbroken conversation, we would have some nostalgic moment to talk about. I often wonder, and you know, I can't go into someone's past. I can't go into someone's future, but where I am, I can make a difference.
Yes.
So, and that is what I'm, thing is, this is about, oh, I am going to open in this week a carers group. It is not about offering advice, or it is not about offering expertise, because it, but it is just about providing a safe place. You know, for me, that place comes a lot with my faith, because I don't know about where others' ability to perform comes. My comes from my faith, you know, and the gift that I've been given. So the community is all about coming together and staying. And I do talk about meditation. I do talk about mindfulness. I do talk about, you know, the power of touch. But it is where you can come and ask questions, and I can bring in then other experts that, you know, in my network, in health, you know, and well-being, and, you know, just so they get to talk to you and, you know, help around. Because when we are caring, one of the most vulnerable group is the carers.
Yes. Who's the looking carers. After the carers?
Who is looking after the carers? Nobody. And where do they go? They can't just leave somebody and go, go away. And, you know, a few days a week, I work in a nursing home, and I see this all the time, that the spouses come in with chronic illnesses. And even I used to work in emergency. That was the thing. When the older people come in, or the spouse come in, or parents come in, their worry is, I have got child who is dependent, child who is sick, child who has physical challenges, child who has emotional challenges, or older couples that's like, my wife is getting dementia, or, you know, she, somebody, my husband has Parkinson's, like all that place. Now, age of social media, I don't know how many of that older population I can, but my generation, or generation one, you know, a bit older to me and a bit younger to me, I hope I give enough space there for them to reach out and say, okay, I have this question. Okay, this is how I'm feeling. Okay, you know, I don't want to communicate. I don't want to talk, but I want to listen to what others are saying so I can work out for my own self. So I want to give that. And I work a lot with cancer clients. So, you know, and other chronic illnesses, where do they go? So somewhere a space for the carers, and very much a retreat, because I, look how I'm talking. If I tell you that I am a very introvert person, it is be hard to talk. I would talk so much behind a camera, so much better than, you know, in a book, big group. But I do well in a community, because I know, even believing in Christ, I know that there are so many of us who need that face-to-face, that human interaction. We need that just to reach out and touch somebody, you know, just to sit, have a cuppa, just sit face-to-face, chat and laugh about something. And sometimes to do nothing. This is one of the big thing I notice, especially in looking after cancer clients in their cancer journey. If you are recuperating, there comes a time when the doctor says, okay, you are well. Okay, come next year for the test. So you did not want this limelight, but suddenly you, at one point, you get a diagnosis, you know, people around you know, and, you know, they have just come over, like, what can I do? How can I help? Then the social worker is calling you, your oncologist is telling to make a, you know, make an appointment, the doctors, the surgeons, like so much is there. And then suddenly it all falls apart and you think, what am I going to do next? People would come out to me and say, can you see a lump there? I cannot see anything, but that is the fear, because now they cannot go to the doctor every week or every fortnight or every 2 months to check that lump. There is no lump, but you feel there is one because that support system has fallen. And now you are all alone. And because you look well, people also tend to back away, or people don't know what to say, what is the right word to say or do. And, you know, we want to, or they want to just be strong and not be dependent and not show other people, you know, they are still tired, they are still sick, or go and do so much activities to take up their time that there is no time to sit down, sit still, rest and recuperate. Stillness does not come easily to anybody, does it? It takes a lot of time. So that's where retreat, that's where my thing about, you know, some time to just be still. Just do little activities, just spend time with yourself. And if you are a faithful person, then just sometimes spend with the Lord. So that depends on who comes and what they need. But that is my intention of running the retreat. So running the retreats,
And how can people get in contact with you? Do you already have a website, or can they connect with you on social media?
Yes, I've got a website that is www.massageincare.com.au. And my Facebook group is also Massage in Care. And my carer support group is Carer Support.
Fantastic.
Carer support group. So I can give you the details if you would like to put in there, the links to put in there, but that's how people can get in touch with me.
And what we'll do is we'll put all of those links on the show notes. So Rena, if you haven't provided, I know we've got your guest profile, but if some of those links aren't on there, email them to me and then my team can add them. And of course, let me give you the link. So if people are listening to the audio podcast, it'll be below the video, but for those listening to the audio, rush across to ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com /TCE02, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE02, and we'll put all of those links so that they can click through there, Aruna, and connect with you that way. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always great to talk to people with similar wavelength, isn't it? Makes such a lot of difference.
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does. So for those of you who are listening or viewing the video here, before we do go, if you really want to get your message out, just like Aruna is with her own podcast as well, and maybe you've been thinking you might like a podcast, but you don't know where to start, what I've actually done is created a free training. And what I've included in that is my pre and my post podcast workflow step-by-step checklist, as well as including some low-cost and some no-cost tools for you to get started. And just to get access to that, annemariecross.com/mini-training, annemariecross.com/mini-training to get access to that. Before we do end the show, Aruna, could I say a word of prayer for you before we go?
Please.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Father, that Aruna and I could have this conversation, that we really can see the passion and the gifts that you have given her, Lord, to have the power of touch, to be able to be the difference in people's lives. And, you know, the people that she cares for, her clients, her patients in the hospital, and of course the clients, the carers who will be coming to her workshops and her retreats. Father, we pray that you will bless her, that you'll give her courage, that she will turn to you, that you'll give her courage to start running these, and that people who you want to have attend those will hear about them and will come so that she can impact their lives. Will you bless the family and her children? And we just thank you for the time that we've spent together today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, Aruna. It really has been a blessing, and all of the very best with the retreats, with the workshops and the trainings, the work that you do with people. It's so important.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.